And greetings, brethren. Welcome to day 4 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2010. And the Feast of Tabernacles pictures the redemption of the earth, all people, but it begins with Israel, begins with the 12 tribes of Israel. And God is going to bring them back to their land. God is going to reestablish them and bless them. And they are going to become first the leading nation. And it's going to be such that all the rest of the nations of the world are going to have to come to spiritual Israel, which will be us, the resurrected saints. And they're also going to have to come to physical Israel. And from there, then, the rule of the whole world will take place. So let's see what's going to happen right at the first. Okay? Let's come here to Jeremiah 30. And let's pick it up here in, what verse? Verse 17. And we'll see the prophecies now, and we'll understand why, then, that the disciples were kind of thinking, well, maybe it's time to establish the kingdom of God and restore it with Israel now, because Israel is out in the diaspora, and they knew where the 10 tribes of Israel were. After all, James wrote an epistle to the 10 tribes of Israel out in the diaspora, or that is scattered abroad. So they thought, now is the time to do it. But Jesus said, no, it's not time, because all the other prophecies, not only concerning Israel, but the whole world, have to be fulfilled before the kingdom of God is established on the earth. So let's pick it up here in verse 17, Isaiah 30. For I will give health back to you and will heal you of your wounds. There could be a lot of healing that's going to have to be done, especially those coming out of captivity, those who went through the great tribulation, those who suffered great losses. And just think, we're going to be part of that healing. Because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one cares for her. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will turn back the captivity of Jacob's tents, and will have mercy on all his dwelling places, and the city shall be built on her ruins, and the palace shall remain in its own place. And out of them shall come thanksgiving, and the voice of those who rejoice, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. And I will also honor them, and they shall not be disdained. So here, everything that everyone wants in the world today, happiness, blessing, goodness, is going to come then. Not now. Because as we're going to see, not only does God have to bring them back out of captivity, but God also has to heal them, and he has to give them a new heart. All right, out of them shall come thanksgiving, and the voice of those who rejoice. I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also honor them, and they shall not be disdained. Also their children shall be as they were before, and their congregation shall be established before them, and I will punish all who oppress them. See, because God deals with Israel first. Then he deals with the other nations. We'll see how that works in a little bit here. And the ruler shall be of themselves. Yes, the spirit sons and daughters of God. And their governor shall come from among them. And I will cause them to draw near. And who is going to be their governor? Christ and David. And the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob, and the 12 apostles. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach me, for who is this who has pledged his heart to come near to me, says the Lord. and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. What a fantastic time that is going to be, brethren. Just think of that. Think of what we are going to bring to Israel and to the world. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord's wrath goes forth as a sweeping whirlwind, and it shall whirl on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he's done it, until he has fulfilled the purposes of his heart. And we're going to read of the purposes of his heart. God has many purposes. Purpose for us, each one of us individually. Purpose for the churches collectively. A purpose for Israel individually and collectively. So those are the purposes of his heart. And notice what he says here. In the latter days, you shall understand. Now chapter 31, verse 1. And at that time, in the latter days, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Because he had to cast them off. Thus says the Lord, the people who were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I will go to give him rest. And the millennium pictures the rest of God. The Lord has appeared to me from afar, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you and brought you to myself. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again put on your drums, and you shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as a common thing. For there shall be a day that the watchmen of Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise! Let us go up to Zion to the Lord, our God. When they come up to worship God, they're going to see this beautiful tabernacle that God has. It's going to be quite a thing. Hold your place here and come to Isaiah 4. Let's see what, and I gave a sermon on this last year or the year before, what the temple will be like during the millennium. Nothing like people imagine out of Ezekiel 40 to the end, because that's talking about the second temple. Here in Isaiah 4 is the temple that God is going to create in Jerusalem. And it's going to be magnificent indeed. And remember, Mount Zion is going to be raised high above all the nations of the earth. So when it says, let's go up to Zion and appear before God, all right, here's what they're going to see. Verse 5, Isaiah 4. And the Lord will create over every dwelling place of Zion and over her assemblies. Now, who's going to live in Jerusalem but the saints? We'll have places there, though we'll rule in different places of the world also. A cloud and a smoke by day, and a shining of flaming fire by night, over all the glory shall be a canopy. So here's this canopy that's going to be over. That is the temple of God. It's not going to be a building as we think a building is. It's going to be a spiritual place. It is going to contain where Christ will live, but over it will show the continuing presence and dwelling place of Jesus Christ the Lord and the saints who rule with him. Verse 6, and there shall be a tabernacle for shade by day from the heat, and for a refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. Now, that's what the temple is going to look like. So back here to Jeremiah 31, when they say, oh, come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. Now notice how they're going to come. Come back here to Jeremiah 31. Let's continue on in verse 7. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout aloud among the chief of the nations, cry, cry out. Give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. And that's going to start the new Exodus. Verse 8, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the corners of the earth, and with them the blind and lame, and of course he's going to make them see, and the woman with child, and she who is in labor with child, together with a great company shall return there. And they shall come with weeping, that's repentance, and with prayers I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way. They shall not stumble in it, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. That's going to be something to reestablish all the nations. What will the world be like? You know, I do a lot of flying, and I look down and I see the earth. And when you're up at 30,000 feet or higher, you look down, you can't see anything down there. Looks like there's hardly anything on the earth. And in many places, it's a bare and desolate. And just think what it's going to be like during the millennium. They're going to have rain. They're going to have plenty. They're going to have food. And as we're going to see, everyone is going to sit under his own tent, as it were. Everyone's going to have his own piece of land. Not like it is today. And we will have the true economics at that time. All right, let's go forward here. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of the one stronger than he. And it's going to be a tremendous time. Verse 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. They shall flow together for the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden. No sickness, no disease, no none of that. And they shall not pine away any more at all. Can you imagine everybody healthy? Hello, physicians. You're going to be put out of business. Let's go on. Then the virgin shall rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together, and I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their affliction. And I will fill the soul of the priest with fatness, and that means the richness of the goodness of God, and we shall be the priests. Talking about us. And my people shall be satiated with my goodness, says the Lord. No more trouble, no more difficulty, no more holding back. See, now this is something that is really, I'm really anxious to be there to see this happen. We're going to be a part of that. We're going to help lead them back. We are going to be there to heal the wounded, to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to give strength to the lame. Boy, that's something. That is something. Yes. Verse 20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Even God in this is doing some repenting over all the trouble he had to bring up upon them. Is he a delightful child? For as often as I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still, even though you read the book of Hosea, what he says of Ephraim. Like a silly dove. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. So God has feelings and emotions and expression of it too. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Set up waymarks, make signposts for yourself. Set your heart toward the highway, even the way that you went. Return again, O Virgin of Israel. Return to these your cities. Boy, that's something. They're going to return, and we are going to help them. How long will you go to and fro, O faithless daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in a land. A woman shall court a man, because there are going to be more women than men. So God will have to take care of that. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, again they shall speak this word in the land of Judah and in its cities. For I will bring them back from their captivity. The Lord bless you, O habitation of righteousness and mountain of holiness. God is going to cleanse and purify, starting right there in Jerusalem and on Mount Zion. And the farmers and those going forth with the flock shall dwell in Judah itself and all the cities together. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Every wound, every broken heart, every traumatic thing that they had gone through, God is going to heal. Now, I remember reading an excerpt from a book where there was a man who was prisoner of war of the Japanese in Thailand when they were building the rail there. And he had been wounded, and he just gave up. And he then became filled with sores and everything all over him. And I cannot help but think of that kind of person right here. We're going to heal. That God is going to raise up. That God is going to establish and bless them. You see, and will be the instrumentality of blessing. Isn't that something? On this, verse 26, I awoke up and looked up, and my sleep was sweet to me. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of animal. And it shall come to pass, as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant. But you see, all this world system has got to be brought down totally. Think about these prophecies and how God is going to do it compared with how human beings today think that they're going to make things right. And think that they're going to make things good and prosperous again. Never happen. See, God is no patcher. He's going to be a builder. And God is going to remake it new. Verse 29, in those days they shall not say any more, the farmers have eaten sour grapes, and the children, and the teeth of the children are set on edge. But every man shall die for his own iniquity. Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. So there's going to be proper judgment. If there's sin, God is going to take care of it. But that's what they used to say. Now, God says this. This becomes an important thing. When he brings them out and brings them back together in the land, just like he did when he brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai, he made a covenant with them. That's what he says here, verse 31. This covenant has never been established. This is not necessarily talking about the covenant that we are under, the new covenant through Christ today, but this is a new national covenant with Israel and with Judah. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, although I was a husband to them. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. He's going to give them his spirit, and notice, and I will put my law into their inward parts, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So that's quite a covenant, isn't it? Everything's going to change because we'll be there to teach. And they're going to learn. They're going to know. They shall no more teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord! For they shall know me from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sins no more. Fantastic thing, isn't it? That's what God promises. That's it. Now here is the promise. Now he tells you how sure it is. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, to ordinances of the moon and of the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea when its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, says the Lord, the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be searched out, I will also cast all the seed of Israel, cast off for all that they have done, says the Lord. Nope. There's the promise. There's the guarantee. He's going to bring them back. Now, when he brings them back, he's going to plead with them in the wilderness. Let's come here to Ezekiel 36, and let's see what's the first thing that is going to happen. Can you imagine such a vast transformation of human nature that's going to be exhibited here? All right? Let's pick it up here in verse 22. Ezekiel 36 and verse 22. Imagine this kind of vast conversion, changing of heart, changing of mind. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. For I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned in their midst. He wants them to know and remember what they did so they can repent. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord when I shall be sanctified in you before their very eyes, because God is going to work with Israel first, then the rest of the nations. I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries, and I will gather you to your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. You see, it's important. Look at what has to be done first. Just like we've said a number of times. Before you can have anything right, you've got to take care of the spiritual first. And this is what God is doing. He takes care of the spiritual first by bringing them repentance, by putting his laws and commandments in their hearts, by giving them a new nature, one that is not hostile and rebellious and sinful, but one that is yielded to God. Now that nature is going to be very easy to convert, isn't it? And this is the nature, really, that Adam and Eve should have started out with. And I've often wonder what it's going to be like with Adam and Eve. I wonder, are they going to be in the first resurrection or the second resurrection? Well, I don't know. But those are some of the things we can wonder about. But I wonder what it's going to be like when they're resurrected and they see what God has really done in overcoming all the sin that was perpetrated on all of mankind because of their sin and giving up to Satan the devil and rejecting God. Now here it is, all being redone. All right, verse 26. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. So there we have a new spirit, a better spirit of man than we have now, a new heart, one that is willing to obey, and on top of that, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Now think about this verse in relationship to what we have learned and have been studying concerning God's grace and commandment keeping. God wants it from our heart. God wants it from a spiritual perspective. And so this whole argument of law and grace and brethren, let's understand something. We aren't going to fight the Protestants anymore. We are going to defeat them. We aren't going to sit back and take any more arguments about law and grace, but we are going to teach the truth and show that in the covenant that we have today, we must keep the laws and commandments of God through the grace of God, exactly as it's going to happen to Israel when they come back out of captivity. And you walk in my statutes, shall keep my ordinances and do them. What does that mean? Keeping the commandments of God, we read that earlier, didn't we? Keeping the holy days of God, yes. No more Christmas, no more Easter, no more Halloween, no more Groundhog Day, no more religions, fake Christianity. No, the kings and priests, the sons and daughters of God, are going to be ruling and reigning and teaching and bringing the glory of God to the whole world, beginning with Israel. That's what we're going to be doing. So you see, it's not something that God is going to do without us. That's why he's called us. All right, let's continue on here. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and will call for the grain, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruits of the tree, the increase of the field, so that you shall never again receive the curse of famine among the nations, and you shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. True, deep repentance. That's what's going to have to happen first. And it will. And then it will go from there to the whole world. We'll see that in just a little bit. Now notice what he says, verse 32. I do not do this for your sake, says the Lord God. Be it known to you. Be ashamed and be confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the day that I cleanse you from your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in your cities, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. And the waste land shall be tilled. Instead of being desolate before all who pass by, they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. Remember what we mentioned yesterday? The restitution of all things. And the wasted, desolate, ruined cities now are fenced and inhabited. And the nations that are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Now that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? Yes, now let's come to Isaiah, the second chapter, and let's see what's going to happen after God first establishes things with Israel. Isaiah, the second chapter. Now then, it's going to go worldwide. Isaiah 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days. And that's where we are right now, brethren. That the mountain of the Lord's house, we saw that in Isaiah 4, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. That's all other nations. And all nations shall flow into it. Jerusalem is going to be the capital of the world, the center of civilization, the home of Jesus Christ and the saints, and all those filling whatever offices and jobs that there are. And as they flow to it, we go out into the world and we rule over cities. We rule over regions. We teach people the word of God. And if they go to the right hand or the left hand, we tell them, don't do that. Here's where to go. And I think of this many times. What is a city going to be like in the millennium? I think they're going to be spread out because there'll be plenty of land and room. And there are going to be a lot of buildings which will be for Sabbath services, for assemblies, for schools, for learning and teaching God's way. And it's going to be something. And God's blessings are going to flow just exactly like the magnetic power that comes on this earth. Flow and bless everyone. Now, when they see it, they see these things, and many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. Because as we have seen in the past, Ezekiel 37 and 38 and 39 shows that he's going to have to deal with Gog and Magog, especially Ezekiel 38 and 39. And that's after Israel has been at rest. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And when do they learn war? Well, they start right at birth, because it's in the nature of man. That's why the nature of man has to be changed. Can't have the kingdom of God without a change in the nature of man, and that does not come unless there is repentance. And that does not come unless there is God's Spirit. And that does not come on a worldwide basis unless there is the kingdom of God and unless there are the kings and priests to rule and reign with Christ to bring it about. Now, there's a lot that we're going to see. We're going to do a little survey here in the book of Isaiah, and we're going to see quite a few things that help us understand about the millennium. And in a way, you could even say that the book of Isaiah is the book of the kingdom of God, much more than any other book. But it is also the book which shows the destruction of this world and its system and its government. So it shows both parts of it, you see. So we're going to see quite a few things here in the book of Isaiah. We'll do a survey and see about the kingdom of God. Now, let's come to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. Let's look and see and read of some of these prophecies. And as we do, let's just imagine how the world is going to be. Now, You see a lot of specials today where it shows the glories of the earth as it is now, but just think what it's going to be like during the millennium. It's going to be a marvelous and a fantastic thing, isn't it? Yes. All right. Before we get to Isaiah 29, just hold your place. We'll come right back there. Let's come here to Isaiah 11, and let's see how Christ is going to bring this about. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. That's a prophecy of Christ coming as a human being, and then obviously the other scriptures where he's resurrected, ascended to the Father, etc. Okay? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Obviously, that's of his first coming and likewise of his second coming. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall slay the wicked. No wickedness is going to be allowed to prosper in this world. Let's continue on here. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Also the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. Total change in the environment, in animals, in humans, in everything. See, that's why Satan has to be bound and put away before the millennium can begin. Because just like as soon as Satan was allowed to go into the Garden of Eden, what happened? Adam and Eve sinned. And you can never have righteousness with Satan still around. Never. All right. Total change in nature. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the cub lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. I don't think we'll have very many plastic toys during the millennium for children, right? We surely are not going to have plastic guns, are we? And we're surely not going to have Xboxes where you play Dungeons and Dragons and all of these demonically inspired games. They'll be gone. Eliminated. You see, too much of the technology that we have today is based upon the evil of Satan the devil, so he can get evil into the lives of people as early as possible and as long as possible, and to keep them away from God. All that's going to be eliminated. All eliminated. I'll tell you. Now, verse 7. And the cow and bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. In other words, under the government of God on the earth, there isn't going to be any more shooting, killing, looting, stabbing, stealing, poisoning, learning war. None of those things. Gone. And can you imagine a human society that way? But it's not going to happen unless we are there. So you see why your calling is so important. You're going to help save the world. Now think how much better this is than trying to fix things with political parties and elections today. You know, like one man said, you can never trust them. When they get there to govern, everything changes. Because who's in charge? Not God. So you see, God is going to make a clean sweep of it, and he's going to do it the right way. And he's going to do it in a way that is going to be fantastic. And brethren, if you think we know anything today, and if you think the knowledge and education that people have today, let's read this. Okay? They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now that's something. Satan is going to be bound, no longer there to deceive. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be the root of Jesse standing as a banner for the people. To him the nation shall seek. All people will flow unto Jerusalem. And his rest, that means his millennial reign, shall be glorious. And brethren, that's our future. That's our calling. That's why we're here. This is why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is why we keep the Sabbath. This is why we study. This is why we pray. This is why we are to change and grow and overcome. We have a holy calling, an eternal calling, and God has called us to it. Now think of that. What a fantastic future that is. Well, we'll take a short break and be back.